Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for all your texts and prayers this week. I did get my wisdom teeth out on Monday, but I'm here. I'm feeling pretty good, so hopefully this goes well. No, but thank you for everyone that reached out and was praying for me. Everything went great, so I appreciate that very much. Today, we're going to be looking at a principle. We're going to talk a little bit more about what that means. But when I say the word modesty to you, there's, for many of us, probably what comes to mind is what's on the slide. And it's clothing, or it's maybe outfits that people wear. And that is where modesty gets talked about quite frequently in our culture and in the church, and for good reason. But in the Bible, modesty is much deeper than just clothing. Clothing's one manifestation of modesty. But modesty, like I said, it's a principle in Scripture. Now, the fancy, if you don't know what a principle is, the fancy definition from Oxford Languages is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. Dumbing that down a little bit, a principle is just a truth that guides our belief, our reasoning, and our actions. That's what a principle is. They can be applied to multiple different people. They can be applied to different situations or scenarios. They can be applied to different cultures and different times. The principles can span all of those different barriers and different things they can be applied to. The Bible is full of principles. In fact, the Bible teaches in principles quite a lot of the time. Because, you know, the Bible doesn't speak about everything that we would ever encounter or every specific situation that we would ever face. But the Bible does speak in principles, and those principles then guide everything that we go through, everything that we do or face or encounter. And those principles are how we learn to live as we should, how we learn to think as we should. You know, one of the things that's very popular among faithful Christians is Scripture memorization. That's a great thing. I encourage you to do that. But sometimes we overlook principle memorization. And it's one thing if you can quote a scripture, but it's a lot more if you know what it actually means and how to apply it. And so principles are incredibly important. Modesty being one of those principles that God teaches us. It does apply to our clothing, but it applies to a lot of other aspects of our life. And so I want to explore that principle with you this morning. So if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, where we started. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm just going to reread again verses 8 through 10 to remind us of what Paul says. Paul says, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Now, this is the classic verse people go to when talking about modesty in relation to clothing. But I want you to forget about clothing for just a little bit and think about the deeper principle that's present here. So Paul's in a discussion of spiritual practice and the significance of prayer. And he's been talking to men and how that relates to men. But then he turns and starts talking to women and some of their spiritual discipline and disposition that they should have. Women should adorn or clothe themselves with respectable clothing. And so we have to ask Paul, what is respectable clothing? Is it a top? Is it a skirt? Is it a tie? What is it? Paul says, respectable clothing is modesty and self-control. So he's not talking about physical pieces of clothing you can wear. Paul mentions, he does mention physical apparel that women do not need to worry about. And as an alternative to those things, such as, you know, braided hair and gold and pearls and expensive clothing, Paul says that they should wear godliness and good works. And so we have to ask Paul, are you talking about clothing? Because you keep going back to clothing, but then you also keep talking about godliness and good works, and these are not physical things we wear. What are you talking about, Paul? Is it clothing or something else? Really talking about both. Paul wants his readers to understand that modesty is about self-control, about respect and godliness and good works. That's the deeper principle that he's trying to teach us here. But in order to illustrate how that guides our practice, he is turning to the example of clothing and how the women were clothing themselves as an example of modesty in action. Their clothing choices were a symptom of their understanding of the deeper principle of modesty. And so the principle, in a nutshell, of modesty is that God wants us to have a heart of self-control, of respect, of godliness, and of good works. But if you look at that word a little closer, it reveals a little bit more about what modesty really means. So the Greek word for modesty is the word eidos, and it can mean modesty or reverence, shame, respect. But this is what's fascinating, and I didn't know this till preparing this lesson. It comes from the verb eidiomai, which means to be ashamed. That's the word it comes from. Now, this is not the kind of shame that comes after you do something bad. We've all been there. You do something wrong, and you're ashamed in hindsight. There's a different Greek word for that, a skune. But eidos is a shame that prevents you from doing something bad. So in other words, the modest heart, somebody who is displaying modesty, has a heart that wants to avoid evil, not just they feel bad when they do evil. They have a heart that's looking forward about ways to glorify God, not just realizing in hindsight that they did not glorify God. And so modesty is about having self-control and respect for God and for people that stops us from doing something that might be shameful to others, that might be shameful to us. We look ahead. We proactively think ahead. That's the heart of modesty. Now, interestingly enough, this word for modesty in 1 Timothy, eidos, never shows up again in the New Testament. But the principle is all throughout Scripture. Go to the book of 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at the first 7 verses. Peter says this, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Once again, try to take clothing out of the equation in your mind for just a second and look for the deeper principle that Peter is talking about here. He's talking about submission. And if you read before this, he's been talking about submitting to governments, submitting as servants of God, honoring all people, loving the church, submitting to masters, the submission that Christ had by going to the cross. That's this whole conversation that leads us to where we are in chapter 3. And then he addresses the relationship between wives and husbands. But it's just continuing the same thought, having a heart of submission. Wives are to submit to their husbands by being respectful and practicing pure conduct. That sounds a whole lot like a modest heart. Respect and godliness, those are parts of being modest. Peter uses a wordplay here when he says that submission isn't about, once again, going back to physical clothing, the braiding of hair or wearing gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but it's about the way you clothe your heart. Being a modest, submissive person means that we have a heart that is gentle, that is quiet, that is respectful, and that is pure. A modest heart refuses to make it all about themselves. A modest heart doesn't rush rashly into emotion or situations. A modest heart thinks about God and others before themselves. And so Peter continues the thought by saying that holy women clothe themselves, not in physical clothing, but in submission to to their husbands. And husbands have a same call for a modest, submissive heart that seeks to understand their wives, to respect them, to put them first, and show them honor as well. And so do you see how the principle of modesty is being applied here? Paul is applying it more to spiritual disciplines and to clothing. Peter is talking about marriages and our relationships with people. A heart that is changed and shaped by God is going to be modest in its relationship with God and with other people. Being modest means that we have a heart that respects God, that submits to Him by practicing self-control to pursue godliness over shamefulness. Just flip the page. It may be on the same page. Go to chapter 5 of the same book, 1 Peter chapter 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter comes back to this wordplay again with clothing, which should bring our minds back to chapter 3 that we just read. And he's talking about submission in chapter 3. And then in chapter 5, he has just talked to shepherds, and he speaks to younger Christians, and then he addresses everyone. And he says that we all need to clothe ourselves. But with what? What type of clothing are you talking about, Peter? Humility toward one another. And why? Because God bestows grace on those who are humble, but opposes those who are proud. So, from 1 Peter 5, the key to modesty is to have a heart that is clothed in humility. The modest heart respects God. It submits to God. It pursues godliness. And that's a principle that is worth memorizing, that we must memorize, that we must live out as faithful Christians. But this principle carries over into the Old Testament as well. Go to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Like I said, this principle is echoed in the Old Testament. And the Hebrew word in Micah 6:8 that's translated humbly can also be translated as modestly. God deeply cares that we have the right kind of heart, because He knows that our actions flow out of our heart. You know, that's why you think back to King David. That's why he's chosen to be king. You're in your Old Testament. Go all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 6 and 7 of that chapter. It says that when they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. After this is when David is chosen as the next king of Israel. And it's not because what he looked like, but because he had a good heart. Looking like a king does not make you a king. Our actions do not flow out of how we look or how we present ourselves necessarily. Our actions flow out of who we are in our heart. God knows that. And that's why he anointed David as king. And that's why he cares about the modesty of our hearts. And so the principle, quite simply, modesty is about our heart. The modest heart is a humble heart that practices submissiveness, that practices self-control, respect, godliness, good works. Having a modest heart means that we respect God so much that we are proactively looking ahead to avoid actions that would bring shame on Him, on others, and on ourselves. And that principle must guide everything that we do, every decision that we make. And really, it's a life-changing principle when you think about having a truly modest heart. It would transform a lot in our society if people practiced modesty in their heart. It would transform our marriages, as Peter talks about. It would transform our families. It would transform our churches. It would transform our own discipline if we practiced that. And yes, it would transform our clothing as well. Modesty is so much deeper than clothing, and it applies to so much more than clothing. But since this conversation often goes into the discussion of clothing, I think we should talk about that a little bit this morning before we end. Clothing, the choices that we make with our clothing must be guided by our understanding of the principle of modesty. And so, modesty is the biblical center. It's the principle for our hearts. It's the principle that should guide our life in any culture and for any person, for somebody who's trying to live for God and like Jesus. And so when it comes to clothing, the same respect, the same submissiveness, the same self-control that characterizes a modest heart should also characterize what we choose to wear. If you have ever been outside of your culture, even outside of our country, you know that people wear different things all over the world. There are all kinds of different types of dress, you know, traditional dress and business attire and casual attire. There's just so much diversity in the clothing of the world. You know, the Bible never tells us exactly what articles of clothing to wear or not to wear. It just gives us the principle that we should be humble, that we should respect others, that we should avoid shameful decisions and pursue godliness and self-control in the way that we dress. Modesty when it comes to clothing is having a heart that looks ahead and chooses to clothe myself in a way that honors God and that respects people. That's having a modest heart in the way that we dress. It's about thinking about God and others, really over myself, over maybe what I want. And that principle can be applied in any culture, at any time, for any type of dress. But that principle will only be applied to clothing if we've applied it to our heart. And so that is the biblical center of modesty. But as is the case with anything in the Bible, there's a ditch on either side that it would be very wise for us to avoid. On one side is the ditch of underemphasizing modesty. A heart that underemphasizes modesty really cares more about me, about myself, than about God and others. And if I care more about me, then I don't think as highly about what others need or want, or about what God cares about or asks of me. And if I care less about about God and other people, then I really start to care less about what they say about me and about what they think about me. And you know what God thinks about you? If you've read the Bible, then you have some understanding of what God thinks about you. You are beautiful. You are precious. You are loved by Him. You're created in His image. That's what God thinks about you. But if you no longer care about what God thinks about you, all of a sudden you need validation from somewhere else. And so the heart that underemphasizes modesty needs validation really from other people, because they're not going to get it from God. And because of that, you may not have very much shame. You may not be thinking ahead what is going to be shameful and what is not. Those are not going to be priorities in your life. And so the heart that underemphasizes modesty and has no shame and needs people's validation to feel beautiful will end up wearing whatever that I need to feel noticed, feel sexy, to feel beautiful, because that is what matters. There's a proverb that is quite blunt on this topic. Proverbs 11, verse 22 says this: "Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion." You could also change woman to man there, and it would still apply. You are all beautiful, and you are all handsome. God created you beautiful. He created you wonderful and good. Now, sin messes that up, but God created you to be a beautiful person. But when women and men underemphasize modesty in the way that we dress, they look like pigs trying to wear jewelry, the image that Proverbs gives us. Make yourself look hideous when you disregard modesty in your heart and in your clothing. Our culture, the American culture, I'm not speaking for every culture on earth, I'm not even speaking for the American culture all throughout time, but today, in 2025, our culture, by and large, struggles with underemphasizing modesty. We, men and women, there's no, you know, we're including everybody in this. We will do everything that we can to bring attention to ourselves. We will do everything that we can to highlight ourselves. We will do everything that we can to bring attention to our features and our curves, but not our Christ. That's the culture that we live in and that sometimes we struggle with and sometimes we have to battle against. A modest heart does not need certain kinds of clothing to feel beautiful or to bring attention to them, because they already know that God thinks they are beautiful and He is eternally attentive to them. And that shapes every decision they make and how they dress. But on the other side, there is another ditch of overemphasizing modesty. This is a heart that cares more about modesty, frankly, than they do about God or other people. And if I care more about modesty itself than God or other people, then I really will still disregard, as in the other group, what God says, what He actually says about what modesty is, or what actually shows respect to people and submission to people, as long as I'm being modest. This kind of corruption of the biblically centered idea of modesty, while that side may have no shame, this side loves to shame others, unfortunately. If you do not match my definition of modesty, I'm going to let you know about it. And so we begin to add definitions to modesty that God never said. We begin to bind things about modesty that, frankly, are just not in the Bible in the name of what we think is right. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We started here, and this is where we're going to end as well. First Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10. I'm going to read it again. I desire then in every place that men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, being modesty and self-control, but not being braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. This verse gets brought up in modesty conversations because often we are battling our culture that doesn't want to wear enough, frankly. And that's fair. I get that. But that's not really what Paul is talking about. Paul is addressing the overemphasis of modesty. Women were struggling with pride and the desire to wear expensive clothing and really dressing up and looking good, and maybe I look better than you do. And that's a problem. There was a struggle with pride. There was a prideful heart among the people, among these women, not a modest heart. And Paul tells them to stop wearing all of that and worrying about looking so elegant and put together, and to instead be modest. You can also be immodest by wearing too many clothes. And you can be immodest by wearing clothes that make you look better than others. Now, our culture struggles with underemphasizing modesty, but sometimes we might struggle with overemphasizing modesty in the church. If we're not careful, worship becomes about what you wear, not who you are. And if what you wear isn't good enough, then maybe you're just not. If we overemphasize modesty, modesty becomes God. And when that happens, everyone else better fit into that definition, or you're not good enough, or you're not holy enough. But a truly modest heart, going back to that biblical center, a truly modest heart submits to God first, and they look at others and how they can respect others over what they may want or desire. A modest heart realizes that our clothing choices flow out of our relationship with God and our relationship with people, instead of our relationships flowing out of what each other decides to wear. So, let's apply the principle. The principle is so much deeper than clothing, although it affects clothing as much as any other aspect of our life. It's about our hearts. When we have a modest heart, we will have a modest character. When we have a modest heart, we will have modest speech. With a modest heart comes a modest marriage, and with a modest heart comes modest clothing choices. So this morning, do you have a modest heart? Really think about that. Do you? And this is something that we're going to struggle with in different avenues of our life. But do you have a modest heart? Do you have a heart that's humble and practices submissiveness? That is not a fun word. But actually practices submissiveness and pursues self-control and respect and godliness and good works and all those things that we talked about. Do you have a heart that respects God so much that you are proactively looking ahead to avoid shameful actions that would bring shame to God or other people or to yourself? And with that in mind, let's get a little bit more personal this morning. What is the heart behind why you are wearing what you have on right now? And why you're going to wear what you'll wear tomorrow or any other day in the week? Do you choose what you are wearing because you are thinking about yourself and you want people to notice you? Either side, either ditch can do that. That's the case, you need to check your heart. Do you choose what you wear because you think that what you wear makes you holier or a better Christian? You also need to check your heart too. You know, I had to do some self-examination on a lesson like this because I was going to put on clothes for today, of course. So you had to think about that when a lesson about this. And this has been funny over the past few years. Many of you have noticed that I only wear ties when I preach. And of course, sometimes I get asked, why is that the case? Is it because that, you know, wearing a tie on Sundays makes me holier? Absolutely not. And if that's the case, then I just need to remove the tie. If that's where I get to or where any of us get to, then that clothing or that part in our life that we think is better than other people and makes us better, that needs to be removed from our life. But that's not why I wear a tie. So maybe why I wear a tie is because I think it shows more respect to God. Theologically, I don't think God cares if I have a tie on or not. So why do I wear a tie? Like I said, I had to think about this myself. It's our culture here at Central. There's nothing wrong with that. It shows respect to other people. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why I wear a tie. That's why a lot of us wear ties. That's great. And you could apply that to other things. But we have to think through why we wear what we wear. And take it out of clothing, why we do what we do. Does it come from a modest heart, or does it come from a heart that cares more about me than God and others? It isn't about my tie. It isn't about your dress. It isn't about your suit or your makeup. It's about your heart. I hope that we all choose what we're wearing today and every day because we have a modest heart that's thinking about God, that's thinking about other people, and that we want to wear things that bring glory to God and that bring honor to other people, that show respect and humility to the people around us. But it isn't really about the clothing. It is about your heart. And what we wear will flow out of the character of our heart. Just like David, God knows our hearts too. And I'm asking all of us to really think inwardly so that we can know our hearts like God does as well. Do you have a modest heart? If you need help, you need forgiveness for immodesty in any area of your life, we would love to pray for you and to help you grow in that. You need to become a Christian and you haven't yet. You want to talk about that and study about it, or you're ready to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we would love to do that this morning too. Whatever you need, please come as we stand and we sing.